Hello, everybody, and welcome. With Bob Christopher, this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. Our listener lines are open, and we'll welcome your calls now at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question, or if you're dealing with some difficult personal issue, let us hear from you. The lines are open, so call now, 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, and happy Friday. So glad that you are joining us today on Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. We welcome your call to the program today. If you have a question about a Bible passage, a problem situation, something that you just want to talk about, call right now, 844-322-2742. That's the number, toll-free here in the United States and Canada. So pick up that phone, call right now, 844-322-2742. Here in the United States of America, we're celebrating a very important event, a very important day, the independence of our nation, the founding of our nation. It is the freedom that we experience as American citizens. And it's a marvelous thing for us to celebrate, but it's a reminder of the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. And the freedom that we have is based on the gospel message. It's based on the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So today, I wanted to spend the first few minutes of the broadcast really looking again at this gospel message, and the message does matter. This isn't something that we can play around with. This isn't something that we can modify, that we can bend to the culture or anything like that. This is a message that we need to let stand for what it is. Why? Because within this message is the power of God, the wisdom of God, the salvation of God, the freedom of God that we can experience by grace through faith. So Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, most of us know this particular chapter as the resurrection chapter. Paul spends verse after verse after verse after verse talking about the importance and significance of the resurrection as far as our faith is concerned, and what that's going to mean to us as far as the resurrection of these bodies. But he begins this particular section with a discussion on the gospel. And so he starts this way. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you. So when Paul came into the city of Corinth, he came with a message. And he was very precise. He was very clear. He was just black and white with his words. He didn't try to pretty them up. He didn't try to make them sound pompous or any of those sort of things. He just delivered this story. So it was the gospel that he preached to them, and they received it. So he says, I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and which you stand. So they took a stand on this gospel message. They had heard all sorts of things. I mean, Corinth was a city where all kinds of cultures came together. It was right on a trade route, both via land and sea. It was a major place for the exchange of ideas and philosophies and those sort of things. And when they heard the good news, this good news stood out. It was something head and shoulders above the rest. And so the folks there received it for what it was, and they took a stand on this good news of Jesus Christ. And in taking a stand, they were saved. And that's what he says, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. That means that you believed without purpose or without cause. You just gave lip service to this good news. You never believed it with the heart. You never responded with genuine faith. There's lots of people that do that. They believe without purpose, to no purpose or to no end. But Paul was saying, hey, there was a group there that truly received it and truly took a stand on this good news. Now, here's what he delivered to them. And he delivered it to them as of first importance. So that's something that we need to recognize. That's something that we need to understand. This isn't down there on the priority list. This is of first importance as far as God is concerned. So if it's of first importance as far as he's concerned, it needs to be first importance as far as we are concerned. There's a lot of important things out there. There's a lot of issues that need our time and our attention and our efforts to talk about, to discuss, to roll up our sleeves and try to figure out and solve. But they are below this particular issue on the priority chain. This is of first importance, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul received it just as the Corinthians received it. Paul received it, and after he received it, he delivered it to the people. Now here's what he delivered, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. So there's the problem. That three-letter word, sin. Sin has been the problem since the Garden of Eden, since Adam and Eve chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Sin entered the world, and through sin, death came to all people. First to Adam and Eve, they died spiritually, and then they died physically, and they passed that spiritual condition on to you and me. And so the many were made sinners. So you and I come into this world sinners by nature, children of wrath, living to follow the ways of this world, living to gratify the desires of the flesh, disobedient, rebellious. That's what we were when we came into this world. So sins and the fact that we were sinners, that's the problem. And so Christ died for our sins. Now, this is where liberty is going to come from. I mean, we're not going to be free if we think our problem is anything other than sin on a spiritual level. If we think our problem is because people have oppressed us, if we think our problem is because our systems don't cater to me, that I don't have the wealth that some other people have and that needs to be redistributed to me. If I think all of those things are my problem, then this message doesn't fit with as far as the solution is concerned. But if I realize that my problem is sin, if I realize that my problem is that I came into this world as a sinner by nature, then here's the solution. His name is Jesus. And he shows us that he's the solution in the fact that he died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. So what is freedom? Freedom is liberty from the power of sin and death. We were enslaved to that power. Sin was our master, according to Romans 6:14. That was the problem, and there was no way we could work ourselves out of that enslavement. As a matter of fact, the harder we tried to fight against sin, the tighter the trap of sin became in our lives. So to be freed from sin, it takes the death of Jesus Christ, the one who died for our sins in accordance with scriptures. He was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. That was the Apostle Paul. So there's the story, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then the eyewitnesses that could carry that message forward to the world back in that day, and then those who received the message from these apostles, these eyewitnesses, they could they could move it forward to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation, all the way down to our current time. But this is the story. This is what freedom rests upon. Without this story, there is no freedom. There is no spiritual freedom, and if there's no spiritual freedom, then we're not going to experience any other type of freedom. So freedom rests on this particular message, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is of first importance. So what does this mean to you? Well, it means simply this, that Christ died for your sins. The punishment that you deserved, Jesus took in your place, in your stead. He took your sins from you. He bore them in his body, and he died the death that you justly deserved so that you could be made righteous in the sight of God. That's what it means that Christ died for your sins. And in taking your sins, he freed you from the power of sin. He freed you from the penalty of sin. And there's going to be a point in time in the future when you are going to be absent from this body. You're going to put on a brand new body, a resurrection body, and you're going to be freed from the very presence of sin. So punishment, the punishment of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin. That's the liberty that we experience by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But the story doesn't end there. That's simply the first chapter. That is where this story begins. And it's really strange when you think about it that a good news story starts with death. That's the very opening of this story. It's the death of Jesus Christ. But it's also our death as well. When we come to Christ by faith, we die in Christ. We are buried into his death, and we are raised to walk in the newness of life. That's the rest of the story. So Christ was buried. So that's an end to that old covenant, those old requirements. That's an end of our old way of life. That's an end to our old identity as sinners. That person died. That old man died with Jesus, was buried with Jesus. And then on that third day, he was raised from the dead in accordance with scriptures, which means when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, when we take our stand on this gospel message, when we receive Jesus, we too are raised to walk in the newness of life. We too are raised spiritually, and we are given new life. And it's this new life that we get to experience here and now as we trust the giver of that life, Jesus Christ himself. And so that's the story, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in that story is freedom, our freedom from the power of sin and death, our freedom to experience a brand new life, the very life of Jesus Christ, by grace through faith in him. So as we enter into this special time as far as American history is concerned, and we celebrate the freedom that we have as American citizens, let's remember that true freedom rest upon this message that is of first importance. The message truly does matter, and that message is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. Thank you so much for joining with me on today's broadcast. I would love to hear from you. If you would like to comment on what we're talking about, if you have a Bible passage that you would like to discuss, if you have a problem situation that you would like to talk about, go ahead and call that number, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands. It's a CD series, entitled Stand. So here we've just talked about those who received the gospel. They took their stand on the gospel. Well, what does that mean? What does that look like for you and me? Well, it means that we're filtering out all other messages, that we are judging everything that comes to us with some discernment. And when we see something that doesn't align with the Word of God, that doesn't line up with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we reject it. So that's part of what it means to take a stand. And so in this particular CD series, that's where we start. A warning from Paul about those who are going to bring error and lies to your minds. So judge those based on this particular message, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and then allow this message to move you forward to what God really wants from you or wants for you, and that's to know Him. And in knowing Him, you as a human being can experience true contentment and you can experience genuine joy. That's the result of this message of Christ. That is your freedom, and that's what God wants from you, and that's what this series is all about. We want to put it in your hands. Again, it's entitled Stand. It's a in-depth look at the last two chapters of the book of Philippians. So go to basicgospel.net, click the donate button and follow all the instructions and request your copy. We can send CDs to you or we can send you a link that you can download these messages direct to your computer or your smartphone or whatever way that you want to listen to these particular messages. Again, the resource is Stand. Go to basicgospel.net and request your copy. Well, this is Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number. Go ahead and dial that right now. We would love to hear from you. We do have a couple of calls that are coming in right now. But in the meantime, we have this one. I can't find it. Here we go. This is from Jay, and he has a question today about Hebrews 6, 4 through 8. Now, this is a passage that we've looked at on several occasions here in the last month or two, but it's an important passage to deal with. Why? Because many people stumble over what this passage says, and they start to worry. They start to fret that maybe they have lost their salvation, that it's impossible for them to be renewed, that they are trampling underfoot the Son of God. So let's take a look at this and see exactly what the writer of Hebrews is talking to us about in Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. So here's how it starts. For it is impossible to restore again to repentance those who have been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come. If they then fall away, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding Him up to contempt. So just on the surface, it's a very scary passage. It looks like we could lose our salvation. But we know, based on what the Word of God says from Genesis to Revelation, that those who are saved, those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, those who have crossed over from death to life, those who have received the gift of God's Spirit, they have been saved completely. There's no temporary reprieve. There's no testing period. There is nothing like that as far as the Word of God is concerned. When you're saved, you are saved completely. You are saved forever. Why? Because your salvation is the life of Jesus Christ. You receive His life. His life has now become your life. His life is an indestructible life. His life is going to be a forever life, which means you're going to live forever as well. So that is the good news. So the writer of Hebrews isn't saying that we can lose salvation. What he is saying is Jesus is enough. That the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus is enough. It is the message that matters. It is the message that is sufficient to save. Now, if you've heard that message and you think, well, maybe something better is going to come along, then you are saying that this one isn't good enough. And this is a warning and saying, hey, there's nothing better coming along than Jesus. So if you've tasted that, then move on with Jesus. Keep moving forward with Jesus. You know, it's like if you were looking at the Israelites and they had come through the Red Sea and seen that sea parted and seen their enemies destroyed by those waters and they experience freedom. And then they say, hey, we would like to go back and see if there's something better, see if there's something more powerful. Then they are acting with contempt toward the miracle that God performed to set them free. So if anybody thinks there's something better coming along than Jesus, something better than Jesus, then they are acting with contempt toward the death, the burial, and resurrection that he provided so that we could experience salvation. So he's simply saying, let's recognize the sufficiency of the work of Jesus Christ, and let's keep moving forward with him. And that's what the context is all about. Let's move on to maturity. And we're going to move on to maturity with the same one, with the same person who set us free, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Jay, hope that's helpful. Thank you for posing that on today's broadcast. Well, let's go to Garland, Texas, and talk with Monty. Hi, Monty.
Hello.
Welcome, my friend. What's on your mind today?
I hear a lot of preachers talking about it on the radio. I can't recall whether or not I've heard it on your station here, but they say that Jesus Christ could come any day. Now, and according to Matthew, Jesus Christ says that he's not coming back until the Antichrist is revealed. And the Antichrist has not been revealed yet, which means that Jesus Christ cannot come back today.
Well, Monty, Jesus can do whatever he wants, whatever the Father tells him to do. But you're right, we do see some things, some markers in the Word of God. But let me just say this, Monty. There is the spirit of Antichrist that's in the world today. And that spirit of Antichrist has been in the world since the very beginning, since the Garden of Eden. And so that rebellious spirit toward God has always been there. And there's going to come a time when these forces of darkness try to gather together and make one last stand against the Lord. And he's just going to squash that with just a word. There's not going to be a battle. He's just going to speak, and it's done. It's over with. And then, according to Revelation, after that, we see the white throne judgment. We see the coming of Christ. So we know it's close at hand, and we as believers are looking forward to it. Why? Because in that, he's not coming back to deal with sin. He's coming back to bring our ultimate salvation to you and to me, to everyone who has named the name of Christ Jesus. Well, Monty, thank you. We're out of time. Thanks for the question today. We certainly appreciate it. Well, this is the conclusion of the Basic Gospel program today. Enjoy Monday. Celebrate your freedom as an American citizen with great joy. But even more, celebrate your freedom in Christ with even greater joy. We'll see you next week.